Well, good morning, everybody. Is everybody awake? Alive, alert, enthusiastic. Well, I want you guys to know that you guys seem like y'all are a long way away. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, so it's good to be here. So glad to be able to teach this class this morning. Appreciate you being here. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I think everybody should have received an outline. I'm just going to continue what Dr. Weaver has been teaching the last several weeks on the Spirit-filled life. And hey, really, truly, the Spirit-filled life does truly make a difference. You know, I think that a lot of us at times are kind of fearful of being Spirit-filled. And what I mean by that is that there's so many other denominations and religions that kind of make Spirit-filled life seem like it's a little fearful, or that it's hysteria. Maybe that's even a better word. But the Bible commands us to be Spirit-filled. And do you realize to be Spirit-filled, it will make a difference in not only our lives, but it'll make the difference in the lives of people around us as well. And it's a commandment that the Lord gives us. Now, we're going to just kind of continue where Dr. Weaver left off last week. And oddly enough, you know, you remember the temple leaders weren't too happy that this man was now walking and he was leaping and he was praising the Lord. They were even more unhappy about Peter's message and the crowd about the Lord Jesus Christ and the power to heal and things that were going on. Now, let me just say this as well, that, you know, people in our, and things have not changed too much even in today's culture. You can talk a lot about religion, you can talk about God, but when he starts talking about Jesus Christ, things change. And it's even becoming more confrontational now to bring the name of Jesus into a conversation. Well, the preaching of the gospel always brings mixed results. And as we look here in Acts chapter 4, we find Peter, John, they've been arrested by the temple leaders. And at the same time, while they were being arrested, 5,000 people got saved in one day. Could you imagine just seeing 5,000 people saved in a day? Could you imagine seeing 5,000 people saved in one day at Worth Baptist Church? Wouldn't that be awesome? I think it'd be great. And then, of course, another time there was 4,000 saved another time. The day after their arrest, the high priest and the religious colleagues hauled Peter and John before the crowd off to prison and raised the question, by what power or by what name have you done this? Of course, we know what power, we know what name they done this. Of course, the source of their power this day and even in our day-to-day is, of course, the Holy Spirit of God. And Peter wasn't the only one who was experiencing the Spirit's fullness. And we're going to learn today from Peter and these other faithful disciples three perspectives on being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. We're going to look at three perspectives. And let's look first this morning at the priority of being filled with the Spirit. So look in your Bibles in Acts chapter 4, and let's look in verse number 30 and 31. Let me make sure that's the right verse. Acts chapter 4, let's look in verse number 29. I'm sorry. Verse number 29. The Bible says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. They spoke the Word of God with boldness. I want to try to help you catch the scene of what is going on here in this story. The crowd gathered. Peter was, of course, given an opportunity to defend the faith of the apostles. And the single most factor in this critical moment of the early church was not Peter's education, was not his background, it was not his social connections that he had, was not even his financial resources that he had. It was Peter that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's stay in that same chapter and go back to verse number 8. We're going to stay in that same chapter, and I know some of this you may be familiar with, but look at verse number 8, chapter 4. The Bible says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not needed just for preaching and doing the work of the apostles. I want everybody to understand that. We think that just being filled with the Spirit now allows you to preach and allows you to teach a Sunday school class or allows you to witness to somebody. But really, the Bible commands us that we are to always be filled with the Spirit. Of course, we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, and that needs to be manifested, of course. Now, we know that His presence, we know that the Holy Spirit's presence is necessary to every Christian. I want everybody to understand that the Holy Spirit is important. And that in all circumstances and every day, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For example, let's look in Ephesians chapter 5, the New Testament's classic chapter on marriage relationships, okay? If you start in chapter 5, verse number 18, in fact, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, words in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, it talks about that, about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then later on in that verse, it talks about the relationship between a husband and a wife. And then later on, it also talks about the spiritual warfare. Now, why is the being filled with the Holy Spirit mentioned before the relationship with the husband and wife and before the spiritual warfare that's going on? Let me tell you why. Unless a husband and wife are filled with the Holy Spirit, they're going to have trouble in their marriage. Did you get that? If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have trouble in the spiritual warfare. You're going to lose. And that's why it's so important that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, let's look at the Holy Spirit as our promise. It's our promise, letter A. In John chapter 16, following the upper room supper, the last supper, the Lord Jesus explained to His disciples that though He would be going away, He would send the Holy Spirit to do what? To teach, to comfort, and to guide them. Look at John chapter 16, verse number 7. I think that verse is there in your outline. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Aren't you glad that Jesus tells us the truth? Aren't you glad for that? We never have to worry about Jesus telling us a lie. It's always truth. "It is expedient for you that I go away. But if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Now, we know that the word Comforter there means one alongside. It means it's a direct reference to the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven, okay? We know that after His resurrection and before His ascension in heaven, Jesus reminded them of this promise once again. In fact, Jesus explained that the Holy Spirit's ministry was so important that they would need to wait in Jerusalem for its arrival. In fact, back in Acts chapter 1, verse number 4, the Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, Ye have heard of Me." And then the Bible says in verse number 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days thence." So we see that the Holy Spirit was a promise. It was a promise that was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, that after His death and His resurrection and as His ascension, the Holy Spirit would come down at that time. So we see that it's a promise. But also, the Holy Spirit is our power. It's our power. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, that classic verse. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me, both into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world." So, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ will share this divine power with who? With us. With us. And they will be empowered for the express purpose of glorifying God. Isn't it amazing in another part of Acts, I believe, that where late in the Gospels, he says, you're going to even be greater things than I. Now, I have a hard time comprehending that. How can I can do something that is greater than the Lord Jesus Christ? But I got to remember this. It's not me. It's Him. It's Him working through me, in me, for me, through me. It's not about Earl Sides. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus and the Holy Spirit that works in us. See, the Holy Spirit's power enables us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. His power enables us to be kind to our spouses when they've had a bad day. All right? His power enables us to forgive and restore even though maybe we've been wronged. And the only way we can ever accomplish anything of significant, eternal significance and miraculous proportions is through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, experiencing His fullness is the highest and most urgent priority there is. And we've got to realize that, okay? So, we look first, of course, at the priority of being filled with the Spirit. But let's look secondly at the pathway. The pathway of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, many other believers are filled with the Holy Spirit besides Peter. It wasn't just the Holy Spirit came down to Peter. It came down to all Christians. All right? The fullness of the Spirit is not just for the apostles. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for the missionaries. It's not just for the church staff or the deacons or something like that. The Holy Spirit's filling is standard operating procedures. Okay? It's for all Christians. As soon as you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit came into you. All right? And if you desire, and if you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then there are some steps, if practiced daily, that can enable you to experience the same power that these first century believers had. All right? Did you notice that the Bible says, and we read that a while ago in Acts 4:31, that the place was shaken where they were assembled together? I mean, there was a buzz going on that the apostles were doing something for the glory of the Lord, for the glory of God. There was a buzz going on there, okay? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you notice what else it said? They all spake the Word of God with what? Boldness. Boy, do we not need more boldness in our world today? Oh yeah, we're bold on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night when we come to church, but sometimes when we walk out the doors, we're not as bold as what we ought to be. Hey, the Proverbs says we ought to be bold as a lion. We ought to be bold. So let me give you just a few things that will enable us to have that same power. First of all, connect with God. Connect with God. Give priority to spending time with the Lord every day. Make it the first thing you do every day in prayer and Bible study. And I want you to notice what the observers noticed about Peter and John in the passage. Now, did you go back to verse number 13 and notice what they noticed about Peter and John. The Bible says, and they took knowledge of him that they had been with Jesus. Now, don't miss that. They had taken knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Can people notice that you've been with Jesus? Can people notice through your daily walk of being filled with the Holy Spirit that you've actually been with Jesus? Now, if you haven't spent time with Him, then you can't be filled with His Spirit. John tells us, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. You can't do anything. So are you carving time out of your day, of your daily schedule to meet with God? Do you have an appointment with Him to be quiet and alone? Not rushed, not in a hurry, not just to check off a box, but really have some intimate time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, if you miss the fullness of the Spirit, then you're going to miss the major source of wisdom through the day. Don't miss that. You're going to miss a source of wisdom. You're going to miss a source of power. You're going to miss a source of comfort. And you're going to miss a sense of direction. That's so very important. And all those things God wants us to have. But we got to have that time with God. But not only do we need to have connect with God, but secondly, we need to confess to God. Confess to God. Forsaking the sin and weights that so easily beset us and prevents the Spirit's fullness. Hey, Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not what? He'll not hear us. Isaiah 59 tells us, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither can His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that you will not hear. Listen, you cannot be filled with God if you're already filled with self. With yourself. With self-will. With stubborn sin. With a preoccupation with lesser things. It's easy for us to get kind of sidetracked through the day, isn't it? That's why meditation is so important. Hey, did the writer of Hebrews say, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that what? So doth easily what? Say it with me. Beset us. That gets us off track. So it's very important, guys, that we connect with God, that we confess our sin. But something else is important. We need to call on God. We need to call on God. If you want to hear your Heavenly Father, if you want your Heavenly Father to bestow the Holy Spirit's presence and powers in your life, what do we got to do? We got to ask. We got to ask. That's what we got to do. Luke 11 tells us, if ye then, being evil, know how to give and good gifts unto your Father, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Hey, do you take every moment in the morning to ask God to empty you of yourself so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit? You see, the problem is that many of us are so filled with ourselves that we are unable to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to replace your fleshly nature, your pride and your anger and your fear with His divine nature of His humility, of His meekness, of His faith, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, faith, temperance. That's the evidence. That is the fruit of being filled with the Spirit. Die to self and give the Holy Spirit control. Romans 6 tells us, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Just as you take a glove and you place it on your hand, you take that glove, or you take that glove and you put it on, and it does exactly what your hand does. But you take that glove off and just lay it down, what's it do? Nothing. And that's the idea that we're trying to see here, that the goal is not to be controlled by our bodies, but by the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us. It's the Holy Spirit that ought to lead us and ought to dwell within us. This the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and what? Gave Himself for me. This Spirit-controlled life is what the hymn writer was talking about when he wrote the following hymn, take my life, let it be. Consecrate it, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take Thy feet, and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take Thy voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with the message from Thee, filled with messages from Thee. If finally, when you rise up from your time of connecting and confessing and calling on God to fill you, there's one more thing you've got to do, and that's continue with Him. You've got to continue with Him. Walk through each day exercising sensitivity to God's leadership and following His direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He'll do what? Direct thy path. Oh, we need the Lord's, we need the Holy Spirit's leadership. And doesn't the Bible say in Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? So, let's go to number 3. The product of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The product of it. Okay? Now, look back in verse number 29 real quick as we finish this up. Okay? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Now, the product of it. What is the product? What do we see? How do we see the Holy Spirit working inside of us? Okay? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit provides a bold witness. A bold witness. All right? Now, the Bible says in verse number 13 of Acts chapter 4, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, in Acts chapter 30, verse 34, verse 31, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the Word of God with, say it with me, boldness. Are you still with me? Amen? Hello? All right, just want to make sure you're still there. All right? The boldness that God wants us to exercise with His message does not come to us naturally. You understand that? It doesn't come natural to us. By nature, we're not bold, and we're all hesitant about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it kind of... Do you have trouble witnessing to people like I do? I have it as well. It's amazing that once I start talking to somebody about Jesus, how much that then the Holy Spirit then takes it over. And helps with the conversation. But boldness is important. You see, the Holy Spirit gives boldness to witness. And when it's not convenient, to speak up when it's not easy, to share our faith in the midst of opposition. And we cannot win others to Christ and influence the lost without the Holy Spirit's boldness. We just can't do it. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Hey, listen. The Spirit produces a bold witness, but not only does it produce a bold witness, it also produces a steady walk. A steady walk. Did you notice in verse number 18, it says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And in verse number 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of the Lord to hearken unto you more than unto man, judge ye, for we cannot speak the things that we have seen and heard. Hey, they said, hey, we can't help but speak what Jesus has done for us. And in the face of all these threats, and these men walked steadily. They were going to allow political and religious or cultural pressures to cause them to cave. They weren't going to allow that to happen. So how do we remain steady in our walk with the Lord? Amidst all the changing philosophies and doctrines, God wants us to stand strong in contrast to the times and maintain a steady walk with Him. And then, let her see, the Spirit provides a divine work. Did you notice in verse number 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus? You see, these early Christians had just seen 3,000 people saved at Pentecost, followed by the healing of the lame man, and then salvation of 5,000 others. Did you get that? Add them up. 8,000 people. Amazing. How could they ask for such miraculous things? They understood that the Holy Spirit had come. That's the reason why. And with the Holy Spirit's presence, guys, listen, nothing is impossible. Amen? Nothing is impossible. Now, we should learn to trust God for more than we have ever trusted Him for, and learn to ask our divine Father for divine caliber results. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is able to work. He was able to work then. He's able to work now. And what was Paul's drive? What was driving him? Well, I believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7, it says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us." What a great verse. So in conclusion, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' promise to us. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's strive every day to be filled with the Holy Spirit in our life. He is a source of our power. He came to live within you for the moment you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. But on a daily basis, you have to choose whether or not you're going to do what is necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit and then be controlled by Him. And He can give you the power to witness. He can give you the power to overcome sin. He can give you the power to make a difference in this world beyond your imagination. And by the way, let me say this. The Holy Spirit is a He. It's not an it. It's not an it. It's a He. He's part of the Godhead. And we need it. We need it. How can you have power to love your spouse? And sometimes they need more love. Amen? How can you have more power to raise your children or your grandchildren? Power of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to have power to impact others around you for the cause of Christ? It's only going to be through the Holy Spirit's power. So my question to you this morning is this. Will you connect with Him and then walk under His control every day? Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for its power in our life. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And many times we take the Holy Spirit, we put it in a compartment, we don't bring it out. But Lord, we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus living inside of us. Lord, may we allow the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in our lives of love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Lord, that You'll control it, our lives, You'll direct our lives to do exactly what You want us to do. And we'll give You honor and praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.